pastor wrote us a sermon, quite good one. Again, I did not write this. However, when I'm giving it, I have to use his pronoun, I, because he said he wrote the sermon earlier, and I have no problem doing that because I have the same faults and the same concerns, and it really relates. When I was teaching school, before we do the lesson, we always had a pre-lesson exercise, and I just have two things to tell you about the sermon. First of all, it's about the epistle. So as a pre-reading exercise, I'm just going to read one verse from the epistle, and I have to page back here. Just as, first of all, then I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for all people. That's the basis of what. And the other little pre-lesson exercise I would do is give the students something to look for. And in here he gives some excellent examples that I really related to. And according to, if you watch the Facebook, they're taboo examples, but he gives political examples, things you're not supposed to discuss at Thanksgiving or Christmas with your relatives so you don't fight. But they're really appropriate. It's really good. I'm fired up to read this sermon Pastor gave us. If you're anything like me, prayer is never easy. Perhaps this surprises you. How can I, a pastor, say that I struggle with prayer? Isn't prayer part of what I do for a living? Pastor wrote. And yet prayer isn't easy. Excuse me. There's a reason that the Bible describes it as being like wrestling with God. There's a reason that Paul has to urge us to be constant in prayer. It's so very easy to let it go and not struggle with it at all. Maybe we had the best of intentions. Maybe we convinced ourselves that we would spend more time in prayer today. But when the time comes, suddenly someone else grabs our attention and we get distracted. Before we know what happened, the time is gone and we have to be somewhere else. Maybe we really struggle to feel motivated. The thought of prayer makes us drag our heels. And when we finally get around to it, we say something very quickly so that we can get through it and move on to something else. Or maybe all that we have to do today pushes all thought of prayer out of our minds. We just forget to pray. Why does this happen? We know that God wants us to pray. We know that he has promised to hear us. We know that we can come to him at any time. We know that the specific words don't matter. These are things we have known for a long time, even from childhood. Why then is prayer so difficult? Why does it feel like a burden and a chore? Because prayer means forgetting about myself. Prayer means focusing on God rather than me, and that is something my sinful flesh never wants to do. There's no one I love more than I love myself. There's no one I would rather focus on more than myself. As a man, that is especially difficult because I am expected to rely on myself in so much, yet here I must rely on someone else. That is why, even though God promises such great blessings to those who pray, I find it so hard to come to the throne of God. I get in my own way. Excuse me, runny nose this morning. On the other hand, this self-centeredness can appear in other ways too. Maybe I do find the time to pray. Maybe I even pray fairly regularly. But what do I pray for when I do? Do I pray mostly for myself, focusing on my own worries and needs? There's nothing wrong with bringing these prayers to God, of course. God promises to hear all our prayers and answer all our needs, including our own. Yet how often do I pray for someone else? How often do I pray for someone I don't know? How often do I pray for someone I don't like? That's the real question. I can be completely stuck on myself even as I come near to God. I can still get in my own way even as I bend my knees in prayer. This is why Paul calls on us to pray in our epistle reading for today. Listen to what he says in the first verse. First of all, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for all people. There are three things to pay attention to here. First, Paul says, I urge. You could also translate that as I extort or I encourage. Paul recognizes how hard it is to pray. Why would he encourage us to do that if it came naturally and easily? You don't encourage someone to do something that they want to do, but something that they are reluctant or hesitant to do. But he encourages us to do this because of the great blessings which God has promised to those who do. Come and pray because this is pleasing to God. Second, Paul describes a wide variety of prayers, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings. First, supplications are eager requests for something, like a man begging for bread. We can call on God asking for specific needs, especially in times of distress. Next, the word Paul uses for prayers here probably means more ordinary kinds of prayers, like bringing something to God on a typical day when there is not a pressing need. Sometimes prayer is urgent, sometimes it's not. Third, intercession means acting as a mediator, acting as a go-between. We can pray to God on behalf of someone else, especially calling on God to show mercy, just as the prophets did in the Old Testament. Finally, it is good to give thanks to God. Our prayers do not always have to ask for something in particular, but we can and should give thanks for what God has done. All these kinds of prayers are good, and Paul calls on us to constantly come to God in one way or another, maybe even for all four at the same time. But third, notice how Paul says that prayers should be made for all people. Not only do we need to pray, but we also pray for others when we do. It is good to bring our own concerns to God, and God is happy when we do it, but it is especially good to pray for the concerns of others, even those that we do not know. I would even say that there is nothing which shows the true spirit and purpose of prayer more than when we pray for someone other than ourselves. I'm going to read that sentence again. I would even say that there is nothing which shows the true spirit and purpose of prayer more than when we pray for someone other than ourselves. Think about what Paul says in the second verse. We should pray for kings and all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet, godly and dignified life in every way. This is a fantastic example to use because, here we go, who likes a politician? He says, think of every negative stereotype you can of when you hear the word politician. It isn't hard. We call them cheats and liars, people who say anything to get elected, or that they are simply a joke. There's a reason so many want to drain the swamp in Washington and make things better than what they are. And it's not as if our time is particularly bad and Paul had better leaders. There's something about leadership that seems to attract and bring out the worst in people. The Roman emperors, for example, regarded themselves as gods and were often worshipped as gods, especially in the part of the world where Paul was. The things which some of the emperors did, such as Nero, should never even be mentioned in polite company. Corruption was just as common in the government then as it is now, perhaps even worse. Paul does not call us to pray for kings because they are somehow uniquely good people, but we should still pray for them, he says, because God uses them to keep order in the world. Our government is by no means perfect, but what would it be like if there was no government at all? How much worse would it be if there were no laws at all and no one to enforce them? Evil may be growing in the world, but it is held back and prevented from becoming even worse by government. That in itself is a blessing from God. Therefore, we should pray for those in authority so that they would do what is right in the eyes of God. We should pray for them to become Christians so that they would rule in the fear of the Lord. The result of it, whether they are Christians or not, will be peace, stability, and order. Who doesn't want that? Here's another example he uses. I like this. Let me use another example here. Perhaps I don't like the current president. Maybe I'm upset that a Democrat or a Republican is currently in office. Maybe I'm so upset that I refuse to pray for them at all. That is not good. Christians, just because you don't like them doesn't mean that I should ignore them or refuse to pray for them. It doesn't mean that I have to agree with them, not at all. Nor does it mean that I have to pray that God would bless everything that they do. I can just as rightly pray that God would stop them from carrying out the evil that they want to do, but I am still called to pray for them so that God would use them for good in the world. If Paul could pray for a man who believed himself to be the literal God on earth, I think we can pray when our leader is of a different political party than our own. If Paul could pray for a man who believed himself to be a literal God on earth, I think we can pray when our leader is of a different political party than our own. Because as Paul says starting in verse 3, this is good and it is pleasing in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. It is good to pray for others in this way. It is pleasing to God when we pray for others in this way. It is good and pleasing not only because it is right, but also because in this way we are like God. God is not stingy in his grace. He does not only give out his forgiveness after we twist his arm. He is not unwilling to show mercy to those who call on him. Why should we hesitate to pray when God does not hesitate to forgive? Why should we hold back when God does not hold back his mercy? And it is not as if God shows this mercy to those whom he already likes. God showed mercy to us while we were still his enemies, while we were still totally opposed to him. Why then should we not pray even for those that are opposed to us? I only marked one verse to read twice in a sentence. I'm already on my third, but I'm going to read it again. God showed mercy to us while we were still his enemies, while we were still totally opposed to him. Why then should we not pray even for those that are opposed to us? But more than this, the most wonderful and most mysterious thing of all is that God has connected our prayer to his will. God can do all things, and he has chosen to do these things in response to our asking for it. What a tremendous power God has given to prayer. Are we concerned with how bad things are getting? Then let us pray. Do we want the whole world to be Christian? Then let us pray. Do we want our friends and neighbors to know the love of Christ and be saved? Then let us pray. Paul urges us to pray because God desires the salvation of all. He has connected his saving work to the work of prayer. Can we not see that we have prayer to move mountains while on our knees because God, our Savior, answers our prayers? As Paul says, starting in verse 5, for there is one God and there is one mediator between God and man, the man Jesus Christ, who gave himself as a ransom for all, which is the testimony given at the proper time. In other words, we know that God desires to save all because he has given Jesus Christ as the ransom for all. The blood of Jesus Christ covers over the sins of all men, and all who call on his name in true faith will find salvation. But more than this, Jesus is our mediator. He is a link between heaven and earth. He not only forgives us through the shedding of his blood, but he reconciles us to the Father through his prayers. Jesus does not only pray for those who already know him, but he also prays for the whole world. He said, Father, forgive them, he prayed on the cross, for they know not what they do. And if our great mediator prays for all in this way, then it is good and right for us to do the same. This is indeed pleasing in God's sight, because in this way we have become like him. We pray just as Jesus prays. We pray for others just as Jesus prays for others. We pray because Jesus first prayed for us. Therefore, Christians, when we find our feet heavy, when it comes time to come to God, let us look to Jesus. When we find it hard to pray for others, let us ask for forgiveness. When we don't know what to say, let us look to our mediator, Jesus Christ our Lord. He will teach us. He will lead us. He will give us the Holy Spirit. And then, filled with the Spirit, let us pray for all, because this is the good and gracious will of our Lord. Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, who desires that all the world would come to know you, help us pray when our prayers grow cold, and build us up through your Son, Jesus Christ, so that your gracious will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.